I'm Mike Breen, Public Awareness Officer for the American Mathematical Society, and I'm talking to David Holland with the Center for Atmosphere Ocean Science at the Courant Institute of Mathematical Sciences at New York University. And David, we'll be talking about polar ice, which is obviously a huge issue. What are the big questions associated with polar ice, and how does math help answer those questions?
Well, for polar ice, for people who are familiar with it, it occurs mostly in Arctic and Antarctic regions. But there's two types of ice people should distinguish at the very beginning. One is a type of ice that occurs and forms in the ocean, and it's called sea ice, S-E-A, ice. It's the surface of the ocean freezing, and this ice is approximately 3 feet thick, and it covers vast areas of the Arctic and the Antarctic, wherever there's ocean. These areas are larger than the United States in aerial coverage, and seasonally they get smaller and bigger, smaller in the summer, and larger in the winter. That's not the ice I'm talking about. I'm talking about land ice, ice that forms over land. And the process for that is snow falling on land and accumulating over time. Ice on land in the Antarctic can be several miles thick, and basically over 90% of the Antarctic continent is covered with land ice. That's quite thick, and it's been there for quite a while, maybe 30 million years. In the Arctic, the only really major land ice feature is the Greenland ice sheet, which is about one-tenth the size of Antarctica. And the distinction between these two types of ice, sea ice and land ice, the critical distinction to make is that sea ice does not affect sea level because it's already floating in the ocean. But land ice is high and dry. It's up on land, and it's enormous volume. If it goes into the ocean, the global sea level goes up. Just the way when you add an ice cube to a glass of water, the level of the water in the cup goes up. That's the effect of land ice, and that's what I'm focusing on.
Is there a good way of measuring? Do you have an estimate of how much land ice there is in the world?
Yes, those estimates have really been revolutionized by satellites in the last decade. Different devices, instruments on satellites. One is an altimeter, which is a laser device. It can, in a satellite, it can beam light down and back, do the time of transit calculation, and tell you how thick that piece of ice is. And we've been monitoring the ice, and we can see in some places it's becoming thin very quickly. You can see the change in height of the ice. So that's one way to measure ice properties on land. The other is if you take just photographs, and you take two photographs one after another, you can essentially subtract them and get the movement of the ice, the velocity. So once you get this information about the thickness of the ice and its velocity, you have very basic information about the ice. And you can get more, but that's the basics.
So is it like a giant calculus problem then when you have the thickness to then to determine the volume?
Right. So at that point, it becomes what we would call a continuity calculation. We use different conservation laws. That's the most basic place where we enter this in a mathematical sense. Things are conserved. The sum of the mass must be conserved. The input of snow and the output as ice going into the ocean, as icebergs in calving events. Then momentum needs to be conserved. We must do the sum integral of all the momentum in the ice sheets. And there are different contributions to that, coming from the force of gravity acting on the ice to the force at the base where it's either sticky or slippery. If it's wet, it's slippery. And then we have the actual ice itself has internal forces called ice stresses. And there are formulations of these stresses. So that's a picture in which we are trying to do a calculation that describes the conservation of momentum. And the third one we do is the conservation of energy, which involves the heat and temperature in the ice and the source of radiations coming in. And actually, ice is curious. As it moves, it creates its own friction and its own heat. So from a mathematical point of view, we look at the ice sheet in terms of conservation laws for mass, momentum, and energy. And we're able to solve those conservation laws on a computer and arrive at the state of not only a prediction, but also a current state of what the ice is doing, which we can compare to satellite. And if we're happy with that comparison between observations that we see from space and on the land and numerical mathematical calculations we do, well, it builds a little bit of confidence that we can then project into the future.
That's David Holland of the Center for Atmosphere Ocean Science at the Courant Institute at NYU. And in part two, he'll talk about the future of polar land ice.